King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon had a lot of experience with dreams. We've already considered his dream recorded in Daniel chapter 2 about an enormous, dazzling statue. Today we turn our attention to chapter 4 and read of yet another dream of the king. Renowned preacher and Bible teacher John MacArthur says this is really one of the most amazing chapters of the whole Bible because it's the first-person testimony of the most powerful pagan in the world at the time. It's the testimony of what happens to a world leader who sets himself against God, and a powerful example of what happens to those who try to eliminate God. Dr. MacArthur further notes that the bottom line of Nebuchadnezzar's testimony is one statement that he repeats four times. The statement is this: the Most High God rules in the kingdom of men. The Most High God rules in the kingdom of men. This is really good news. It's really comforting and encouraging news. Why? Because the world is full of terrible and godless leaders who wreak havoc on the earth. Because of the immense power they wield, these wicked rulers seem unstoppable, impregnable, insulated from justice, and able to get away with whatever evil they set their depraved minds and malevolent hands to. The book of Daniel proves otherwise. Indeed, the entire Bible proves that God is in charge, and because he is in charge and a holy and righteous God, justice will one day be served upon every godless and prideful leader who stands against him. Whether that justice is meted out on this side of the grave or on the other. Defy God, and you will be judged. Fail to recognize that the Most High rules in the kingdom of men, and you will be judged. That is the message of Daniel 4. Another message of Daniel 4, and it can be hard for us to understand at times, is that the God whom the Bible says raises leaders up and casts them down, raises up corrupt and evil leaders at times. And he doesn't cast them down, at least not as quickly or as resoundingly as we would like. He does so in order to accomplish his own purposes on earth. The purpose either to judge a leader, judge a nation, judge a people, or to bless a leader, nation, and people. Turning now to chapter 4, we read in verse 1, King Nebuchadnezzar, to the nations and peoples of every language who live in all the earth, may you prosper greatly. Nebuchadnezzar wants to deliver a global message. He wants to speak to the entire known world. And since he can't call a press conference or hold a briefing or go on TV, he issues a proclamation. One, it is very likely Daniel himself recorded, and because the Spirit of God wanted him to, included it in his book. The proclamation continues in verses 2 and 3. It is my pleasure to tell you about the miraculous signs and wonders that the Most High God has performed for me. How great are his signs, how mighty his wonders. His kingdom is an eternal kingdom. His dominion endures from generation to generation. So how did pagan, idol-worshipping Nebuchadnezzar come to the point where it was his pleasure to exalt the name of Daniel's God? The story begins in verse 4. I, Nebuchadnezzar, was at home in my palace, contented and prosperous. He had conquered the whole world and was now enjoying a time of peace and massive prosperity. He is flourishing, literally in Hebrew, growing green in his palatial surroundings. But then something happened. His testimony continues in verses 5 through 8. I had a dream that made me afraid. As I was lying in bed, the images and visions that passed through my mind terrified me. So I commanded that all the wise men of Babylon be brought before me to interpret the dream for me. When the magicians, enchanters, astrologers, and diviners came, I told them the dream, but they could not interpret it for me. Finally, Daniel came into my presence, and I told him the dream. He is called Belteshazzar, after the name of my God, and the spirit of the holy gods is in him. Where was Daniel when all the wise men were commanded to appear before the king? Perhaps he was staying away until the king once again saw that his wise men were actually fools, just as they'd shown themselves to be in chapter 2 when they were unable to discern or interpret the dream the king had had. Continuing his first-person account of what happened in verse 9a, I said, Belteshazzar, chief of the magicians, I know that the spirit of the holy God is in you, and no mystery is too difficult for you. He calls Daniel chief of magicians. The word magicians here meaning one who is a scholar. In Daniel's case, one who is the chief scholar in Babylon. As such, Daniel knows more than anybody else, and the king knows why. Because the spirit of the holy God is in you, he tells Daniel. The narrative continues in verses 9b through 12. Here is my dream. Interpret it for me. These are the visions I saw while lying in bed. I looked, and there before me stood a tree in the middle of the land. Its height was enormous. The tree grew large and strong, and its top touched the sky. It was visible to the ends of the earth. Its leaves were beautiful, its fruit abundant, and on it was food for all. Under it, the wild animals found shelter, and the birds lived in its branches. From it, every creature was fed. In ancient times, trees were commonly used to symbolize great leaders. That's the first part of the vision. And it's easy to draw the conclusion that this is a picture of Nebuchadnezzar and his kingdom. But then comes the second part of the dream. And this is the frightening part. Beginning in verse 13 through verse 18, we read, in the visions I saw while lying in bed, I looked, and there before me was a holy one, a messenger coming down from heaven. He called in a loud voice, cut down the tree and trim off its branches, strip off its leaves and scatter its fruit. Let the animals flee from under it and the birds from its branches. But let the stump and its roots, bound with iron and bronze, remain in the ground, in the grass of the field. Let him be drenched with the dew of heaven, and let him live with the animals among the plants of the earth. Let his mind be changed from that of a man, and let him be given the mind of an animal, till seven times pass by for him. The decision is announced by the messengers. The holy ones declare the verdict, so that the living may know that the Most High is sovereign over all kingdoms on earth, and gives them to anyone he wishes, and sets over them the lowliest of people. This is the dream that I, King Nebuchadnezzar, had. Now, Belteshazzar, tell me what it means, for none of the wise men in my kingdom can interpret it for me. But you can, because the spirit of the holy gods is in you. In this part of his dream, Nebuchadnezzar sees the devastation and destruction of the tree. Yet the trunk with its roots remain as a stump, still alive, protected with a band of iron and bronze around it and watered by the dew so it stays alive. And then the verse says, and let him, now we know the tree is a man, let him share with the beasts in the grass of the earth. This is a judgment. A judgment where the man, symbolized by the tree, will be turned into an animal. He will literally lose his mind. This is a warning to every proud ruler. Defy God and you will be judged. Fail to recognize that the Most High rules in the kingdom of men and you will be judged. The story continues in verse 19a. Then Daniel, also called Belteshazzar, was greatly perplexed for a time, and his thoughts terrified him. So the king said, Belteshazzar, do not let the dream or its meaning alarm you. The word perplexed in this case doesn't mean that Daniel is confused. God had revealed to him the meaning, the interpretation of the dream, but it carries the sense of being appalled. He's appalled because the interpretation is so terrifying. The story continues in verses 19b through 27. Belteshazzar answered, my Lord, if only the dream applied to your enemies and its meaning to your adversaries. The tree you saw, which grew large and strong with its top touching the sky, visible to the whole earth, with beautiful leaves and abundant fruit, providing food for all, giving shelter to the wild animals and having nesting places in its branches for the birds. Your Majesty, you are that tree. You have become great and strong. Your greatness has grown until it reaches the sky, and your dominion extends to distant parts of the earth. Your Majesty saw a holy one, a messenger coming down from heaven and saying, cut down the tree and destroy it, but leave the stump bound with iron and bronze and the grass of the field while its roots remain in the ground. Let him be drenched with the dew of heaven. Let him live with the wild animals until seven times pass by for him. This is the interpretation. Your Majesty, this is the decree the Most High has issued against the Lord, the King. You will be driven away from people and will live with the wild animals. You will eat grass like the ox and be drenched with the dew of heaven. Seven times will pass by for you until you acknowledge that the Most High is sovereign over all the kingdoms of earth and gives them to anyone he wishes. The command to leave the stump of the tree with its roots means that your kingdom will be restored to you when you acknowledge that heaven rules. Therefore, your Majesty, be pleased to accept my advice. Renounce your sins by doing what is right, and your wickedness by being kind to the oppressed. It may be that then your prosperity will continue. Daniel knows Nebuchadnezzar deserves whatever judgment God decides to mete out on him for all the evil he has done in his life. Remember how in chapter 2 he wanted to butcher a whole group of his wise men, including Daniel and his friends? Remember how in chapter 3 he had the furnace heated seven times hotter than normal to burn up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? In Jeremiah 29, we read that he roasted two Jews. In 2 Kings 25, after the sack of Jerusalem, he took King Zedekiah and put out his eyes. But before he put out Zedekiah's eyes, he massacred his two sons in front of him. So in his blindness, the last vision he would have would be of his slaughtered sons. 2 Kings 24 says he imprisoned 18-year-old King Jehoiakim and left him there for 36 years. Daniel knows better than most just how bad a man Nebuchadnezzar is. But he nonetheless shows compassion to this king, in whose service God had sovereignly appointed him. How different Daniel's response is than ours would likely have been. When just deserts are about to come down on the head of a leader we think deserves it, our tendency is to celebrate their comeuppance and to rejoice that the hammer of justice is finally going to fall on their head. I confess I'm pretty much in that camp. How about you? Charitable thoughts and comments aren't my default position when it comes to certain leaders. Is the same true of you? Yet, if God shows mercy to us, shall we not also show charity and mercy to others? This doesn't mean withholding justice where there's guilt. It doesn't mean staying the hand of punishment where it is deserved. But it does mean showing charity toward those who are walking in the darkness of sin and rebellion against God. For we know that the only thing the wicked and unrepentant person has to look forward to is the fearful prospect of the wrath of God coming down on their head if they don't repent and receive Christ as their Savior. Though Daniel and his friends had been on the receiving end of the king's ruthless cruelty many times, Daniel nonetheless responds to the king with real compassion, charity, and mercy as a fellow human being. I wish, he says, that this dream was about your enemies, O king. I wish I didn't have to say this to you. But you, O king, you will be humiliated, crushed, turned into a madman, and 7 years will pass over you until you recognize that the Most High is ruler over the realm of mankind and bestows it on whomever he wishes. It's you, O king. It's you upon whom the judgment of the Most High is falling. And then Daniel gives him a ray of hope in the vision. The command to leave the stump of the tree with its roots means that your kingdom will be restored to you when you acknowledge that heaven rules. This is the only time in the Old Testament that heaven is used in place of the term God. When you acknowledge that God rules, your kingdom will be restored to you. This is a warning that comes with a promise of blessing. Daniel's saying to the king, if you will go in the path of righteousness and acknowledge the true God, then God will withhold judgment. God will withhold the judgment. That's what we ought to be praying for on behalf of our leaders, especially the corrupt and godless ones. Jesus said, pray for those who persecute you. And 1 Timothy 2 says, pray for those who are over you. Pray for the rulers and the kings. As Christians, we should pray that godless leaders would hear the warnings of Scripture and turn from their evil ways to the true and living God. That's the only hope for their soul. And that's our only hope for peace and prosperity to flourish in our land. Well, God gives King Nebuchadnezzar more than enough time to turn from his evil ways. He gives Nebuchadnezzar 12 months until we see the realization of the dream, beginning in verses 28 through 30. All this happened to King Nebuchadnezzar. 12 months later, as the king was walking on the roof of the royal palace of Babylon, he said, "Is not this the great Babylon I have built as the royal residence by my mighty power and for the glory of my majesty?" Nebuchadnezzar is hemorrhaging pride. Self-congratulations is oozing from every pore. In this moment on the palace roof, he's basking in the glory that surrounds him on every side and giving himself all the glory for it. Picking up with verses 31 through 34a. Even as the words were on his lips, a voice came from heaven. "This is what is decreed for you, King Nebuchadnezzar. Your royal authority has been taken from you. You will be driven away from people and will live with the wild animals. You will eat grass like the ox. 7 times will pass by for you until you acknowledge that the Most High is sovereign over all kingdoms on earth and gives them to anyone he wishes." Immediately, what had been said about Nebuchadnezzar was fulfilled. He was driven away from people and ate grass like the ox. His body was drenched with the dew of heaven until his hair grew like the feathers of an eagle and his nails like the claws of a bird. At the end of that time, I, Nebuchadnezzar, raised my eyes toward heaven, and my sanity was restored. Then I praised the Most High. I honored and glorified him who lives forever. The hammer of God's judgment fell in verse 31 when the angelic messenger declared to him, "Sovereignty has been removed from you, Nebuchadnezzar." Sovereignty is both given and removed by God. He raises up rulers and he casts them down, either for the judgment of the ruler, the judgment of the nation, the judgment of the people, or for the good of the ruler, the nation, the people. In Nebuchadnezzar's case, his sovereignty was removed because he rejected God and refused to humble himself before God. And so thunder breaks on his head and he becomes a madman. The lesson of the story is being fulfilled. God will bring down every proud heart, every proud ruler. When this happened to Nebuchadnezzar, his eyes were finally open. He looked to heaven, humbling himself before God, the God of Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Being now restored to his right mind, he proclaims of God Most High in verses 34b, 35. His dominion is an eternal dominion. His kingdom endures from generation to generation. All the peoples of the earth are regarded as nothing. He does as he pleases with the powers of heaven and the peoples of earth. No one can hold back his hand or say to him, "What have you done?" "I now understand," says Nebuchadnezzar. "I'm not in charge. God is in charge." His story concludes with verses 36 through 37. "At the same time that my sanity was restored, my honor and splendor were returned to me for the glory of my kingdom. My advisors and nobles sought me out, and I was restored to my throne and became even greater than before. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and exalt and glorify the King of heaven, because everything he does is right, and all his ways are just. And those who walk in pride, he is able to humble." Did his repentance last? There's no evidence that the king abandoned his idol-worshipping religion for the true religion of Daniel and his friends. But the king's growing recognition of the Most High God was nonetheless an amazing testimony coming from the most powerful pagan on earth. The story of Nebuchadnezzar is a story that takes him from palace to pasture. It serves as a powerful reminder that pride goeth before destruction, a haughty spirit before a fall. It also reminds us that the Most High God has established His only begotten Son as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the King who will rule the nations and the ends of the earth, and who will break the godless with a rod of iron and shatter them like earthenware. Therefore, you kings, be wise, says Psalm 2. Be warned, you rulers of earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest He be angry and you be destroyed in your way, for His wrath can flare up in a moment. But how blessed are those who find refuge in Him, in the Lord who reigns now and forevermore. No matter what happens in this world, no matter what wicked leaders do, we have a refuge in the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, who is Jesus Christ. The day is coming when He will escort us from earth to heaven and usher us not from palace to pasture, but pasture to palace. The marvelous palace in the kingdom of His power, His might, and His glory forever and ever. Amen.